It is my real pleasure to welcome one of my favorite comics, Brian Posehn. Coming up, of course, he's got a special, Brian Posehn Live, An Evening with Grandpa Metal. And Brian, thank you for your time.
Hey, man. Yeah, thanks for having me.
This is so unique. Of course, every comedian is having to find a way to reach audiences in a way they've never had to reach them before. Tell us about Grandpa Metal and how you're promoting this and how it's going to take place.
Well, Grandpa Metal is I just did a metal comedy record this year that came out right before we got hit with quarantine time. So mm-hmm. I never toured it. I was going to go out with Scott Ian and do some special shows where we do spoken word and then perform at the end. And we never got to do that. So this is kind of an answer to that, where it's not so much spoken word. It's closer to stand-up. I'll do a full stand-up set with my buddy Johnny Taylor, is my regular road guy, travels with me. He'll start the show, introduce me, and we'll try to make it as much like a regular, live stand-up show as possible. And then the thing I'm looking forward to the most is at the end, when I'm done, I'll introduce Scott Ian and a couple other guest stars, guys from my band, from Anthrax and other bands. I've got Brendan Small from Metalocalypse and my buddy Joe Troman from Fall Out Boy and a couple other bands. And then we'll just hang out with the crowd and answer questions. We'll play some music and we'll mess around and try to make it like a live streaming green room, really.
That's really cool. And you've always been a huge metal fan, and now to be in a place in your career where you're working with guys like Scott Ian from Anthrax, or just the people you've got the opportunity to meet and interact with via your career, what's it been like for you? Are you still kind of the fan as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm really proud of the record. It took forever. It took about 6 years to finish it because it was so much work we all had crazy schedules. Everybody that was helping me had other things going on, and just for a bunch of reasons, it took a long time. But to finally have it out, and I'm really proud of it. And the fact, like I said, not everybody's got to hear it yet. But I'm hoping in the next year or so, I'm putting videos out and that kind of thing, that people will finally get to hear it. And it's super silly, and it's as metal as it is silly, because I got these great players on there. Like, that's the thing where friends hear it and go, wow, it's really good. And I'm like, yeah, dude. I got the guy that writes riffs for Anthrax to write these riffs, and the bass player is from a million other bands, and everybody is legit, and all the solos I got are legit. I got guys from Testament, Soundgarden, Exodus, every other, all these bands I love.
Now tell us about Rush Ticks and how this came about, this working with Rush Ticks.
It's my first time with them, but they came to me. They've been doing these shows. They did one with my friend Maria Bamford, and that was kind of all I had to hear. We just did one with Maria, and Maria had a good time. And, Maria is one of my favorite people in life. So, that was an easy call. And, I've been wanting to do something, because sitting here for 7 months, my stand-up went completely away. We had all these, and in the beginning of COVID, we didn't know how long it was going to last. So I was moving, I got tired of moving shows. Like, they moved from March to then, let's try to do it in the summer. And, that didn't happen. So everything got moved to next year. And so there was like, how do I still stay connected to fans and then get this material that I've been writing? I've been writing in the last 7 months while I've been sitting here, so I have stuff I want to say,
And it's such a unique and strange time, and it's an opportunity as well, though, obviously, to find yourself the opportunity to find time to write and have a good reason to.
Yeah.
Of course, you've never had a shortage of material in your time. I mean, you've been doing this now for how long?
Dude.
I mean, the name Grandpa Metal says it all.
Stand up more than I haven't in my life.
Wow.
I started stand up when I was 21, and I'm a lot older than 21 now.
You still have
33 years, I think, I've been doing it.
You still seem to have the same energy, the same love for it, though. That's what I hear when I hear your stuff. You're still the sense of discovery is still there, and the sense of joy is still there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I found stand-up. I mean, stand-up, I won't say it saved my life, because that sounds dramatic, but, you know, it's the thing I was supposed to do. I couldn't really imagine myself doing anything else, you know, and sure, acting and writing and all the things that have popped out from stand-up, but stand-up was, I think, still where the love is. You know, I still watch stand-up. You know, some of my favorite humans in the world are, you know, Robin Williams and Steve Martin are the guys, the reasons I do this, you know.
The stand-up is evolving like anything else, and a lot of it, you know, that evolution has been in podcasting, and you've been in podcasting. And how do you feel about the podcast, the nature of where comedy podcasting stands now?
I don't know. I don't know that I'm that big a part of that, because my podcast is so different from what other stand-ups do. You know, my podcast has nothing to do with comedy. It's Dungeons and Dragons and right. playing with friends. But, yeah, man, it's amazing to me to see, you know, the success that some of my friends have had with it. You know, I've known Joe Rogan forever, and it's crazy how massively popular that dude is now. And yeah, but I don't listen to podcasts. That's the thing. Like, I'm still like, such a music guy, and I don't, you know, I kind of don't get it, but I'm happy for the success of everybody, but I don't get the draw.
Yeah.
There's nobody that I want to hear talk every day, you know, for 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I get that. As a talk show host, I get it.
No, as I'm saying it, I'm like, idiot. It's like, no offense, but what I don't mean, because I think of what you do as something completely different than podcasts. Yours is more planned. And podcasts, to me, unless I, you know, they seem more half-assed to me. And I just don't, yeah. I know comedians. I don't want to listen to comedians talk for 4 hours. It's more them than you.
Yeah.
It's more like that I have no interest. You play music. I like music. Podcasts, it's a guy sitting around talking about something he's mad about that happened yesterday, or political stuff, and I'm so sick of politics at this point. Like, that's the last thing I want to do.
Amen. That's
a political podcast, like, you know.
That's some of the best. Why I love so much of your stuff is not that you don't have a perspective, but that you're just, it's more about just the joy that you gotta find in observations about life and comedy and horror. And I gotta say, I still think of a bit you did about you in a baby mask in the middle of the night. This was still one of the funniest things visually. Just visualizing that joke is still one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Thank you. I have a part two to that joke that I will be telling this week, but I'll share it with you. My wife, during COVID, you know, we're talking about home protection, and she goes, well, you have a samurai sword, right? Like, for that joke, you talked about wearing a baby mask and running through the house with a samurai sword. And I go, baby, that was a joke. No, I don't have a samurai sword, and I don't have a baby mask either. Like, don't be ridiculous. But now I have to buy a samurai sword and a baby mask to protect my house.
Oh, man. Well, Brian Posehn, thank you so much. It's September 19th, Brian Posehn Live, an evening with Grandpa Metal. It's going to be awesome. Go to RushTix to find out more. And, of course, we'll have a link in our story as well to share for people to go and enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.